So welcome to the deeper session. We're continuing our mini-series looking at four of the names given to Jesus at or around the time of his birth. So last week we looked at the name Jesus, Yahweh saves, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we considered two aspects of that saving power, the saving from and the saving to. Saving from the consequences of sin, punishment, wrath, separation, judgment. But also, it doesn't end there, the saving to something. Saving to a new life of being free to live for Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So God's plan was not just that we should be forgiven and left at that point, but forgiven and live to righteousness. As someone said, he doesn't want us to be double espresso Christians drinking from a decaffeinated God. That is just kind of taking a quick fix of God, but actually it's a decaffeinated God, so it's not going to affect us anyway. Rather, God wants us to be free from the consequences of sin and so that we can live for him. Today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read from verses 22 to 32. And the title, I suppose, is The Consolation of Israel. So the name given to Jesus, The Consolation of Israel. Before we read the passage, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that at this time we can meet together and look forward to your coming at Christmas. And Lord, we pray for your coming now, your presence now amongst us. Lord, it's the third Sunday in Advent. Advent is a time of waiting, and Lord, we pray that as we wait on you, we would know and experience your presence with us, both in the reading of Scripture and as we take bread and wine together. Father, just minister to us. You know the needs of our hearts. You know where we're at the moment. Lord, we pray for the consolation of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Luke chapter 2 and verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Sovereign Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. So Mary and Joseph were in Jerusalem to offer the required sacrifices according to the Old Testament law, and they arrive at the temple and they're greeted by Simeon, a righteous man who's been waiting for the consolation of Israel. So Simon is not there by accident. The word waiting has this idea of expectation, a longing to receive. And he was waiting and expecting God to intervene to bring comfort to his people. Spurgeon says this, his devotion was not that of a blind devotee. He had eyes of expectation. He was expecting the one who is the consolation of Israel. So, the question is, what are we expecting and looking for this Christmas? Children, no doubt, will be expecting presents under the Christmas tree.
Just children.
And adults, perhaps we're expecting family members to come home and we're going to sit at table and enjoy their presence. And this time leading up to Christmas, called Advent, a time of waiting for God. And our challenge at this busy time of year is to take time out with a sense of expectancy for God to come. I don't know if any of you have been doing the Lectio 365 readings, and one of the oldest prayers of the church is Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. And this morning the prayer was that, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. So I want us just to take a moment to ponder, does Simeon's devotion and expectancy typify my life at present? And if not, perhaps you could pray right now, Lord, I'm waiting for you. I want more of you. Come, Lord Jesus. So we'll just have a moment as we think through that and reflect on that. Throughout the history of Israel, the people had suffered greatly, largely because of their own sin and the rejection of Yahweh as the one and only God. And as a consequence, the land was frequently under attack from foreign countries, and eventually they were exiled, and the land at present is occupied by Romans. So Israel needed comfort. And for generations, Israel had hoped and longed for God's comfort. The promise that Messiah would come was repeated from father to son, from mother to daughter, from family to family, and from the older to the younger. And now, after years and centuries of waiting, Simeon holds God's promised comforter in his arms. As the famous Christmas carol goes, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I don't know how life is treating you at the moment. Perhaps you're in need of comfort. The English word consolation describes the comfort one feels when consoled in times of disappointment. Consolation is something, in this context, someone that gives comfort to those who are sad or disappointed. Christmas should be a time of joy, but for many people it's not. It's a time when they remember the loss of someone very close, a family member, a partner, a mother or father, or a child even. It's meant to be a time of peace, but that may only just highlight the brokenness that a person is feeling, or the disunity that there might be in the family. And there will be times when we all need comfort. So again, here's a question. Are you in need of some peace and comfort? Would you like that to be the gift that you receive this Christmas? From time to time, we all need consolation and comfort. But we will not find true consolation or comfort in this world. It's in this world that we experience grief. The true consolation is that consolation that comes from heaven and found in the consolation of Israel. The Psalms overflow with prayers and with thanksgiving for the comfort that comes from God. And this is what Psalm 94 and verse 19 says. When the cares of my heart were many, your consolations cheer my soul. And in the Passion Translation, it goes like this. Whenever my busy thoughts were out of control, and I guess that would describe quite a few mums at Christmas time and maybe even a few pastors, whenever my busy thoughts were out of control, the soothing comfort of your presence calmed me down and overwhelmed me with delight. The New Living Translation puts it like this: when doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. The New English Translation puts it like this: when worries threaten to overwhelm me, your soothing touch makes me happy. Your comforts cause my soul to delight. The soothing comfort of your presence calmed me down and overwhelmed me with delight.
David, what was that reference again, sorry?
Psalm 94 and verse 19.
Thank you.
Zechariah reminds us to be careful where we look for comfort. Only God can bring the deep comfort that we need. We should be aware of looking elsewhere for comfort. And so Zechariah 10 verse 2 says, "For the household gods utter nonsense, and the diviners see lies. They tell false dreams and give empty consolation." So again, just take a moment to ponder. Are you still looking to him as your comforter? Or have the struggles that you're going through distracted you from seeking him? So ask God to bring you his peace and comfort this Christmas. So we'll just have a moment again of reflection and prayer. Interestingly, the Greek word translated consolation is paraklesis. Probably pronounced it wrong, but para, side of, and kaleo, to call. And it refers to calling to one's side or one's aid for the purpose of providing solace, comfort, consolation, encouragement, etc. And I found this fascinating, that the same word is used of Scripture. In Romans 15 verse 4, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement or consolation or the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So all of Scripture is given as an encouragement, as a comforter to give us hope. And that would be a good place to look for comfort. And of course, we also know it's used of the Holy Spirit, who is called alongside as comforter. So perhaps again, it would be a good time to ask for a fresh anointing of his presence and his comfort in your life. So just again, take a moment just to pray. The hope that Simeon had for consolation comes from God's word in Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned. Our sins have been paid for. There is no more punishment, but an expectation of comfort." And the repeated "comfort, comfort" emphasizes God's deep concern for his people. So comfort is available. In the NIV translation of verse 29, Simeon says, "Sovereign Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." And one of the great sources of consolation is to know that God is in control, that he's sovereign, that nothing happens that is outside of his control and according to his purposes. He's ruler over all. He rules over the good times and the bad times. The devil cannot do anything without God's permission. And so we can find comfort in knowing that God is sovereign and he's working out his purposes, which are for our good. It's not uncommon in sermons to hear a preacher exhort people to move out of their comfort zone. It's said to motivate us to kind of get on and do something, maybe do something a bit risky, to move from complacency and laziness into activity. In Isaiah 40, there is testimony from God that there is a comfort zone, and we're invited to find it in him. So this comfort zone is actually not a place, it's not an environment you need to go to, it's not some new way of meditation or thinking. It's a person. We're not moving to a place, we're moving to a person. The comfort zone is Jesus. It is the consolation of the open arms of the Father into which we are invited to run. It is the consolation of the Son's forgiveness. It is the who cries with our spirit, Abba Father, who prays for us with sighs too deep for words when our words are lacking. We are invited this morning to come into the comfort zone that is Jesus, the consolation of Israel. We talk about consolation prizes sometimes, don't we? You haven't won, you're second best, you failed to get the winning medal. Better luck next time, you're disappointed, so here's a consolation prize. It's a little something to lift your spirits and take the edge off your loss because you didn't win. I think this is great. Israel's consolation and ours is first prize. We haven't worked to win. First prize is that.